I have no idea how to start
I don't
this.
Either.
I have no idea. We've only known each other for 30 plus years, and I have no intro planned.
Well, I wondered if you did, because I didn't plan one either.
I can say with clarity that the premise here is that we're going to try to hold ourselves to three subjects, because if we don't set a limit, we might go for hours.
And you and I have a tendency to jump from place to place.
From place
now,
to
we
place.
Can
yeah.
follow one another. Yeah. I'm just not sure our friends can
okay.
follow us.
Okay, so we may be editing in progress, as they say. You know, it's kind of like going in the kitchen without a recipe. Mm-hmm. You just start throwing stuff in the pan and see what lands on the plate. When I post a picture of something that I made us for dinner,
yeah.
People will say, "What's the recipe?" And I don't answer because I don't know. I have no idea. It was whatever was in the pantry. So
I got it.
I guess one of these days. And the other thing is people are going to be disappointed, I suppose. But every once in a while, folks will say, you should really open a restaurant. And I actually had a friend of mine who knows I love barbecue say, we should open a barbecue restaurant. And I said, are you out of your mind? Do you have any idea how long you have to work at that? You have to get up early. You know, Justin Fortson,
yes.
Pecan Lodge,
right?
When they were at Farmer's Market, the dude would be out there at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
You know, poking fire. And I mean, of all the restaurants that you could possibly want to open, a barbecue one, it probably is the most labor intensive I can think of. So
Dean Fearing has been a friend of mine forever.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Since way before he became one of the chefs of the Southwest. The guy works 14 hours a day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, he tries to stick, that restaurant has his name. He wants to stick his head in at lunch. He wants to stick his head in at
and
dinner.
And say hello to everybody at every table.
And he doesn't have to be in the kitchen
no.
anymore, but he loves to be in the kitchen.
Speaking of restaurants, Luck in Trinity Groves is closing. Did you see that news?
I did.
2019 was a weird year for restaurant closings. There were a lot of them.
But I think Trinity Groves, it is an experiment.
Yeah.
It's an experimental place, and it's kind of make it or break it. And the ones that make it can move on to other places if they want to. But as Phil Romano calls it, it's an incubator. Not every baby survives.
In fact, that's just one. There have been several. Last year, Mud Hen, Shannon Wynn's place in the Farmer's Market. Stephen Piles just announced he's retiring, and that means the end of the Flora Street Cafe. Casa Kamali on Cole Avenue, which people have enjoyed for years. Taco Cabana on Lower Greenville. What are we going to do with the Tango Frogs? Common Table in Uptown. And just a few days ago, Balsa. Balsa, which I loved, one of my favorite places in Bishop Arts. In fact, whenever you hit Bishop Arts and those areas, I don't recognize them anymore.
It's totally changed. It's such a different little neighborhood. It's really the way Deep Ellum wanted to be.
Well, that's headed that direction, too. I mean, every time I drive through Deep Ellum now, there's more progress than I
right.
can comprehend.
So it's interesting, the cycles.
Progress, I say.
Through.
You know, I'm not sure everybody would agree with that word, but it changed.
Change.
But, I mean, I lived in Exposition Park for a while. And when I hit that part of town, I'm like, I don't remember that. I don't remember that. That's new.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've been down near Division and Abrams lately, but there's a whole restaurant scene right there by the Arlington Theater and Babe's Chicken, and there's a wonderful barbecue restaurant. It's on my top 10 list of favorites in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Oh, yeah?
Called Hurtado. In fact, it came in number one.
Wow.
And it's a little pop-up barbecue joint. They just finally finished an actual brick-and-mortar restaurant. When I got there on a Saturday morning, they were set up on a rainy, drizzly, frigid, cold morning. And under a tent.
Yeah.
Under a tent. And they had to keep going inside the building they were borrowing to turn the breaker back on. And there was a line 45 minutes long by the time I got there at 11 a.m. My daughter's high school was playing in a high school playoff
That's
game.
That's like the Camellia Cafe in New Orleans.
Yeah.
They, you know, it's stacked around the block in any weather.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what.
Legal Draft next door. There's Gilligan's not far away,
right.
which has been there forever. But it's just blowing up. And, you know, it's kind of down to a matter of available land. What's open?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
There was a time we thought those spaces would never be filled up because they were like little mini ghost towns scattered around the Metroplex.
I was talking to someone not long ago about promotions, and
mm-hmm.
I may have involved the Winter Classic, which was a huge success.
I was so impressed.
People loved it.
It was a success.
Oh, gosh.
Because people turned out.
And it looked pretty on camera.
Yes, and a cold, you know, cold day.
Yeah.
Thank goodness, in a way.
Thank goodness.
For the snow.
If it it had been 5 degrees warmer, it might not have been such a great event.
It could have been sort of sloppy.
We're not playing hockey. We're playing water polo today.
Exactly. But the idea that we could have that in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, in Fair Park.
Outside.
At a time other than during the state fair.
Right.
And it just shows you that if you...
The potential is there.
I don't know that if you build it, they will come is necessarily true, but if you do it right, they will. And I remember the point of the story was I was explaining to somebody that we once did, when you and I both worked in a previous radio life for KVIL,
mm-hmm.
we did a Labor Day Monday morning promotion before sunrise.
I remember that.
And I told the kids in my communications class at Paul Quinn this story, and they're mystified at how this works. But you could see the light bulb starting to go off. I said, we attracted people in their pajamas before sunrise to watch fireworks before dawn, and 80,000 people came to what was not going to be Stonebridge Ranch for another decade.
Right. It was just a big old empty field.
And now if you go and see what it looks like, you remember Ghost Town at Camp Summit,
the
haunted trail ride I did for a while in the 90s. If you go to that part of Flower Mound, Copper Canyon off 407 now.
Honey.
Unbelievable.
Well, you can't tell. There are no defining lines now between Grapevine and Flower Mound and Louisville.
Yeah.
Coppell's lost in the mix somewhere because it's totally been homogenized.
Now, each one of those cities know where they are, and they're happy to tell you.
And I'm glad they do, but if you're driving through and you're not aware of the boundary lines, you think you're in FloMo or Flower Mound.
Yeah.
I used to live out there. I called it FloMo.
And if you're not careful, you're actually
in Louisville.
You're in Oklahoma.
Well, that could be true, too.
You know, because it just is nonstop, and it's nonstop metropolitan area all the way from Sherman Denison to Waco.
Right.
And of course, you know what it's like from Waco to Austin. It's even more of the same. And I saw a forecast, I think a week ago or so, that said another 3 or 4 million people were coming in. And, you know, I hear people from time to time say, well, that we've got too many. Well, we shouldn't have made this such a nice place to live then. Did you see the news? I think it was about a week ago that the flying saucer of the Fort Worth, once upon a time, Tarrant County Convention Center is coming down. They've got a $500 million plan to renovate that because Dickey's Arena is...
Well, sure. And Dickey, that arena, if you have not been, my goodness.
Yeah. And the sound system in there is everything you could dream of as an artist or a performer. You know, some of the other venues around town have not received high praise for their audio. AT&T Stadium.
Yes.
But Dickey's Arena did everything right. You know, once upon a time, long time ago, the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo was probably one of the top four in the world.
Yes.
And then for a period, I guess, starting in the 80s, they didn't focus as much on the big name acts like they do at the Houston Rodeo. And it kind of languished a little bit. I mean, it was always a great rodeo and it's very intimate.
Right.
Will Rogers Coliseum was very close to the action, but it was also very antiquated.
Yeah.
And that, I think, kind of hurt it a little bit. Now I think you're going to see it back up there with the National Finals Rodeo, with Cheyenne, with places like that where you have world-class events at a world-class facility.
Mm-hmm. I went to the induction of the legends into the National Cowgirls Hall of Fame and Museum.
Isn't that a great place?
And Stacey McDavid was one of the honorees, and they held it in the Dickey's Arena. And that entire place was transformed into this lovely, like a ballroom.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with beautifully set tables and the screen. Everything was very intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And the sound, as you say, was excellent. The speakers who were there, I mean, Alice Walton was one of the honorees.
Oh, goodness.
I went up to her and told her I met her daddy a long time ago. And and I told her I used to shop at the very second Walmart in the United States.
I shopped at your store. Which one of 10,000?
And I said, number two. And she said, oh, Harrison, Arkansas. I worked there summers.
How fun. She worked for her dad.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, that when they tear down the saucer at the convention center,
that's like an icon.
It's necessary. It's got the same problems the Will Rogers Coliseum had. It was built too long ago, and functionally, there are not enough restrooms, and the concourses are narrow, and the portals are very tiny.
And I get all that.
Yeah.
It's almost like I wish they could find a way to keep a piece of it or something.
Well, my idea was put a retractable roof on it and turn it into a band shell, and on a beautiful night in downtown Fort Worth, just open the roof. like one of those buffet servers.
Well,
you know?
Exactly. Or like they do Shakespeare in the Park in some places.
Elvis performed there in 1976, less than a year before he died.
Wow.
Rolling Stones performed there. I think the last show I saw there, and it's been a while, but
Tom Jones was there once.
Tom Jones,
a time.
Yeah. Elton John, and Leon Russell, I think, was the last show I saw there.
Oh, yeah.
The Eagles performed there with Jimmy Buffett on New Year's Eve 1 year. ZZ Top's Fandango tour came through, played there when they had a live buffalo on stage and rattlesnakes. ELO played there, which was fitting because they came down, they lowered a spaceship from the from the roof of the stage, from the ceiling, and they were in it, inside a spaceship.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's hard to imagine. But, you know, even more importantly than that, how many high school commencement exercises have taken place in that building over time?
Well, yeah, it's the history. It's the memories.
And it's necessary, and it's progress, and I get all that, but it's still bittersweet. You know, it is bittersweet.
And it is kind of sad, but it is certainly going on right underneath our noses and has been for a while. The rise and fall of the shopping mall.
Oh, yes.
I went to Grapevine Mills. And, you know, now it's just a collection mostly of little mom and pop shops or discount stores or outlet stores. I remember when that mall opened because Kid Craddock and I were the hosts for the opening day.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood there and it was like, you know, you could hear these echoes, but there are all these shops still there.
Yeah. And you wonder, how do they make it?
How do they make it? Because there's still a food court.
Mm-hmm.
There are all these kiosks. You know, one poor girl, I guess she hadn't had anybody, was chasing me down to put some under eye cream on me. And I mean, she almost forcibly pushed me into a chair. And I just went, honey, I gotta go.
You know, malls face the same problem that every public venue, every facility, every sporting venue faces. Do it at home and not leave your house and never have to fight the traffic, or you can go. And, all right, great example, Texas Motor Speedway.
Yes.
They put on a great event. They do a great job at what they do.
And to be there is really awesome.
It is.
Because it's the sound and the smell and the fury.
Or I can sit on my couch and watch it on my 65-inch flat screen. Why leave my couch?
You still get the sound.
Concerts have the same problem. And so any business you're in, and malls, I mean, obviously everybody knows online shopping. I mean, I'm surprised how much online shopping I do now. But you're right. When this is hard to imagine if you've been in Grapevine Mills lately. But when it opened, there was actually a Hugo Boss outlet in Grapevine Mills.
Yes. And
that's how high-end it was.
Uh-huh.
And Neiman's had one,
and the
too.
Neiman's, and they still have one, but it's not what it used to be.
You used
to really go there and find bargains, and you'd go, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I got this $1,200 sweater for $20.
And it was the coolest place ever.
And it was the coolest place
we
ever.
We did television live remotes from there. We did Positively
Rainforest
Texas
Cafe.
Rainforest Cafe. We did the 4 o'clock news when I was at CBS 11. I love that alligator.
Yes.
The alligator roaring as you were waiting for a table in the Rainforest Cafe.
It was so cool.
My sons demanded that we go to the Rainforest Cafe.
My nephew did too. And then we go across to Books A Million and he'd stock up on books because thank goodness that kid loved reading.
I have to tell you, I was talking about this with someone and they said, well, how come a place like North Park makes it? And I said, well, that's a different thing. Other shopping malls, you go to shop. At North Park, you go to be seen shopping.
To see and be seen.
Exactly.
And it's true. And yes, there are some restaurants there. I was thinking about that because I have a friend who's a big developer, and shopping no longer is the reason to go to a mall.
No, it's not.
It's got to be something else.
Clearfork. Clearfork's a great
thank
example.
You.
Yeah.
Unexplainable like that.
That
or
huge shopping area that Warren Buffett is building near Nebraska Furniture Mart in the Colony.
Right.
I mean, there's so much stuff going on around it, and it becomes a destination, but it's not necessarily because you could shop there.
It's an experience.
Yeah.
And I did notice in Grapevine Mills, they have one of those escape rooms. These are these places where you go to play a game.
Yeah.
And the game is you're going to be in a room and you're locked in it. And sometimes it's a series of rooms and you're given clues on how to get out. And you're supposed to be able to get out within a certain period of time.
Count
if you can't, they help you.
Me out.
And let me tell you, I did it with my group of girlfriends from the barn, Fences, where we all ride our horses together.
How'd that go?
Oh, my Lord. Put five women in a room together, and each one of them thinks she knows best.
Oh, dear Lord. Were you still friends when you left?
We were still friends, but we didn't. I swear that my girlfriend Mimi and I thought that if we could have taken charge, we would have been out of there in half an hour. Instead, it took almost two.
You know, no, I'm not going through because I will go through the wall in a place like that. I can't stand to be locked in or shut in. Claustrophobia
I'm claustrophobic too. But
to know that I have to solve clues to get out, I can't do a crossword. Yeah, I'm not that patient.
And they're bizarre clues, too.
Oh, no.
You know, you I'm really the have just, to think.
No, that's another thing I'm not
Sherlock
good at.
Sherlock Holmes or Nancy Drew. that's just not me.
If you know, when you one of those places where you have to sign a release, no, I'm not doing that. I've had to do that for like flying with the Blue Angels, but at least then you have an ejection seat.
Exactly.
You know, so exactly. I'm not entirely. But, you know, I've always wondered, you know, for instance, the Galleria is a very difficult place to get to because of LBJ and the tollway.
And parking is hard to get in, and it's hard to get out.
But they have an ice rink, and they have four levels, and they have that ginormous Christmas tree. So there are things there that are beyond shopping that you get by going, and so that's why it survives.
It survives, and the Hines brothers have some money behind them. They still own it.
Yeah, there's that, Houston, yeah.
But it's still, it didn't have as many people around Christmas as it used to.
No, but does anything really?
North Park is the only one that was consistently packed. I do think it's because it's a central location.
And they've got a great Santa Claus.
They have a great Santa Claus and a great Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, gosh, yeah, the puppet show.
And they've got an incredible Scrooge. Yeah. And then they've got every big name store there is. But, you know, Nancy Nasher does it right.
The artwork.
And following her father's footsteps, because he was putting art in there before anybody was putting art out.
Yeah.
For public consumption.
And you think to yourself, okay, what would that? Well, it just creates a vibe. There's a vibe in there you can't get anywhere else.
And that's going to be the salvation of the mall is when someone can figure out what the vibe is for that particular mall.
In order for anything to work, whether it's a mall or radio, unless you offer something you can't get anywhere else, you can only get it here.
Ding, ding, ding.
Then people will go somewhere else.
You're right.
You have to be unique. You have to be, I mean, I watch.
Or you'll sit and do it at home. That's what we can do with everything.
I've gotten
now,
in the habit of watching videos on LinkedIn, you know, and TED Talks and things like that, and sitting in my chair going, yes, that's exactly right. It really isn't rocket science, I don't think. But we don't have the patience.
Well, that's it. And sometimes it requires an outlay of faith.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
It's rolling the dice.
And somebody who's willing to stick to the vision. And enough people who are willing to follow that. Indifference and ambivalence are your worst enemies. It's like, oh, I can do this someplace else. And no, you've got to buy into buy the premise, buy the bit.
Yeah.
And that's the secret to success, I think. I was having lunch with a mutual friend of ours, Alan Free, the other day, and I'd forgotten that after he got out of radio, one of the things he did was he worked for Mark Cuban in developing Broadcast.com.
Right.
Well, that was a heck of a job.
Yeah.
It turned out okay.
Yeah.
And it was the commitment to the idea. And he told me when they first started, in order to simulcast ball games and things like that, it would take an hour for them to write the code and upload it. So it wasn't in real time. And within a short amount of time, a year or two later, it was instantaneous. You were listening in real time to what was happening on
it. It was streaming in real time, you know, which was unheard of.
Premier League or wherever. And the idea that that could happen so quickly, I was talking to Tom Leppert, former mayor of Dallas, and he told me that he once had to do a business trip to Australia that was literally a turnaround where he had to fly down, have two or three meetings,
That's
and fly right back.
23-hour flight?
And I looked at him and I said, how are you not dead?
Uh-huh.
You know, because that flight back was 16 hours from Sydney to DFW, and it nearly killed me. Going, you're jacked to go.
Yeah.
Coming home, oh, dear Lord. And we went in October, and it was wonderful. But by the time I got back, you could have just planted me in the backyard, and I wouldn't have known the difference.
I took a KVIL trip to New Zealand. And you stopped in Hawaii, and then you changed to Kiwi Air, you know.
Yeah.
And that was like a 21-hour flight. You know, you cross the international date line.
It's insane.
I mean, it is insane.
And 5-6 years from now, because of the demand and the necessity that these business people have, seriously, I think that's what's going to drive it. And you're going to see, I mean, these planes are already in development, and I don't think it's going to be long before. I mean, certainly we don't have to worry about the 737 Supermax.
Yes.
We can just forget about that now, can't we?
And the Elon Musks of the world, if they're going to take us to outer space, well, what about that little layer in between where you just zip along with the jet stream and go where you need to be?
And land on the other side of the earth, you know, go from London to Sydney in 5 hours. That's coming.
I have two more topics. Ageism. I wanted to discuss that. And the other one is about panhandling. On my way over here, I got practically waylaid in downtown Dallas.
Yeah.
In the canyon, where it is so dangerous for a car to be out there, let alone a human being with a paper cup trying to stop people.
And there are dozens of people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Trying to stop on the highway. On the highway.
Yeah. We'll get into this more next time. Have you seen the film It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood?
Yes, I have.
That changed what I do. Seeing that
really?
Movie. Yeah, and I'll tell you how. And I want to talk about Luka Doncic, too, because, my gosh, have we ever seen anybody like this in our midst? This is a fun story, and the guy's not old enough to drink.
I know.
The guy's not even old enough to buy a beer yet. That's amazing to me. So, listen, this is just three things. As you can tell, that's not the truth. But that's Jocelyn White, and I'm Jody Dean, and thank you for listening.